This morning's scripture reading will be found from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Good morning. Great to see everybody today. I want to welcome you, especially if you're a guest with us today. We're just so glad that you've come our way to worship the Lord. And Stan mentioned a little earlier, we had a good time last night at our Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It's always fun if you're hosting to see who knocks on your door. Or if you're, you know, if you waited till 5 o'clock to open the envelope like you're supposed to, I hope you really did that. But it's just always a lot of fun. We thought, you know, we should do something different this year. Elle and I were thinking about that. Thought, you know, it's all about food and eating and stuffing your face and getting dessert and just sitting around and having so much coffee and sweets that, you know, you're about to, you know, go into a coma or something. And we thought, how about fasting, an evening of fasting? So we thought our guests will never forget this as long as they live. They'll come and we'll have an evening. So we did. We fasted till about 6:15, and then there was this awesome lasagna that was just sitting there, so we decided to go ahead and eat it. But, we fasted for a little while. We need to do that, though, seriously. We do need to do an evening. That would be a good thing for us to do on another occasion. But it's great, isn't it? Can you believe 17 years we've been having dinner together? It's just been so much fun. I hope you enjoyed yourself last night. I know we sure did. We loved the folks that were sent our way. Special thanks to Randy and to Deanne for the work that they always do in bringing us together. And special thanks to the men and the women who helped prepare the meals last night and just made it such a special time for all of us. That's a busy day. If you didn't get enough dessert last night, there's dessert this afternoon. I mean, isn't that what a singing is, really? I mean, the singing is like spiritual dessert. I love singing. It's such a fun, happy time of rejoicing and worship together. And we're hosting it. And if you don't get enough there at 3:30, we'll be having, guess what, dessert in the fellowship hall. So you can come and enjoy that. And then this evening, we have a special evening plan. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I want to mention, though I know I'm doing so many announcements here, they're all going to get kind of forgotten, but June 1st, Chino Men's Day, it's not really a whole day, guys. It's just the morning, 8 to noon. We leave here at 7:15. We're back about 1 o'clock. It is a wonderful morning. A bunch of us have been going for the last few years. It's a terrific time to be together with about 120 to 150 brothers in Christ from all over Southern California. It's a great time of an outstanding buffet breakfast, great time of worship and in the Word. It's just a good time of fellowship. So just want to remind you all of that on June 1st, Saturday. The guys, will be leaving here about 7:15. And tonight, we're having a congregational conversation, and I think you got one of these. Newland Family Communications Meeting, building up the church family, growing our church family, new K to 6 children's program, and bringing questions and suggestions. And I can just imagine that some people are thinking, you know, I've been to a lot of church meetings and nothing really seems to happen when you have church meetings. And first of all, I'm not even going to argue with any of your past experience, because that's past experience. So just if have we not all been to some meetings where not a whole lot happened or it wasn't too edifying to us? But I want to assure you that tonight is not just another meeting. It's not. Because, first of all, it isn't just a single meeting or conversation. This is something that's going to be continuing throughout the rest of the year on several different Sunday evenings, and the beginning of a real open dialogue between all the members of the church and between the elders of the church and the members of our family. And so several more of these evenings are already being planned for the rest of this year. And this is just, I think, a reflection of the desire of our elders to be very open and transparent about what's going on, about what they're thinking, about what our future plans may be, and really just trying to do a much better job of communicating, not just in sharing their ideas and thoughts, but in listening as well. So these conversations will be a time for the elders to share what they're thinking, to lay out a course of where are we headed, what's going on, what are we thinking about, what are the directions that we're wanting to move in. It will be a time of talking about new ministry opportunities, of talking about future plans and future dates, of making financial reports and making a lot of information available and sharing those things about where we are and where we're headed. But of utmost importance, it's a time for the elders to listen. It's a time for the elders to listen to the members of the family here, to hear what's on your mind, to get your response and your input to some of the things that they're going to want to share with you, and to hear from you, to hear what you would like to see, to hear how you would like to be involved, to hear any question that you might have about the work of the Lord in this place. This is a night to give input, a time to share what you're thinking as well, and to be able to ask the questions of the leaders that you'd like to ask. It's really intended to be a family conversation, where some things are shared from the leaders of the church, but also then we have a time of interaction and listening and some dialogue that's going on. And I just would like to say to everyone who's a member of the body here that if you love this family and if you long to see God at work among the church here, among us, your support and your participation are vital. And I would just say, I think more than ever, the participation and the support of every brother and sister in our church family is very, very important. We want to go forward as the family of God, as the body of Christ, serving the Lord, serving Him, glorifying Him here. And every single one of us is needed to be a part of that effort, to be a part of the body of Christ, and to serve the Lord together. And that's why today we're going to take as our thoughts the words of the Apostle Paul from the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter and hear what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, because it's a passage basically about the kinds of things that we're talking about today and the things that we're wanting to do tonight. It all, I hope, will tie together in your thinking and minds as we prepare to come back together this evening to have our conversations together. But I'm going to do something a little bit different and start in the middle of a text. I think I normally start at the beginning of a text, but today I want to try something different. I want to start in the middle of the text, and then we're going to move out to the edges. So JR read the first part. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But I'd like to begin in verses 7 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul talks about how everyone in the body of Christ is called upon and expected and responsible to use whatever gift they have for the Lord and for the health of the body. So Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Paul talks here about Christ, how Christ descended, how he came, how he carried out his ministry, but he's ascended. He's higher than the heavens. And he says in verse 11, it is he, it is Christ, it is the exalted Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Grace has been given to us, Paul says. Grace. Grace has been given to us by Jesus, who came to the earth, who ascended into the heavens, and now Jesus Christ has poured forth his grace on the church. And Paul, first of all, singles out the leaders of the church. Notice what he says there. He addresses that the Lord gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And he points out here the role. One of the primary responsibilities of leaders within the body of Christ is that leaders are called and they are gifted and they are responsible to prepare God's people for works of service. The leaders of a church are to focus their efforts and their prayers and their time and their energies on people, on helping people mature, to grow in the faith with good teaching, helping people to become equipped and trained to serve, helping the members of the body to find a place to serve and to be active within the body of Christ. And all of that starts with leaders, of course, of knowing the flock, of knowing people, and a relationship of trust developing between leaders and between the members of the body, and having that kind of communication that's so vital and necessary in the life of that kind of relationship. And that's part of what's going on in our meetings that we're going to be having on some of our Sunday evenings. Because the leaders are called to set a course, to chart a course, to cast a vision, to lead the way, and then to call others to follow and equip them and encourage them and give them whatever is necessary to do their work in the kingdom. That's what the leaders of the church are called to do by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. And that is what our leaders at Newland Street are committed to doing in practical ways. Of getting together, of talking together, of laying out plans, of letting you know some things about the direction in which the church should be moving, and then to prepare people who need preparation for ministry, to help people get the training they need, to find the work that they can be effective in carrying out, to equip, to train, to support. When people have ideas, when ministries, new ministries, are trying to get up off the ground, to have leaders who will come in and support that and be encouraging to the people who are involved in carrying out those works in the body of Christ. That's the work that Paul says that leaders are given to do. And God, Christ, the Exalted One, has gifted certain people for those roles. But then Paul points out that each one of us has received gifts of God's grace. Jesus has gifted everyone in the church and called everyone to ministry, so that each one of us here today needs to understand that whoever we are, the way God made you, the way He created you, the gifts you have received from Him, just everything from your personality to where you live to all the experiences you've had, the way that God has molded you and shaped you, all of that first belongs to God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. First, it belongs there. We use those things all over all our life. We use it in our work. We use it in a variety of ways. But God has gifted us, first of all, for the responsibilities that we have toward one another within the body of Christ, and we're responsible. We have a commitment to Christ and a commitment to His body here on the earth, which is the church. And we have a commitment to receive training, to excel in ministry, to give ourselves over to the work of the Lord. And there's so many in our family who have for years just diligently served and worked day in and day out. It just goes on. And if something's happening in the church, if some ministry is going on, they're going to be there. They're a part of it. They're enthusiastic. They want to serve. They're committed. And they're known as being that kind of brother or sister. They have that high level of commitment. Some of us sometimes in the church haven't necessarily found that role. And maybe at times we haven't found that role because we haven't really looked for that. We haven't moved forward in our faith to make that kind of commitment. But sometimes it may be we've just needed encouragement. We've needed someone to ask. We've needed an opportunity to arise that we could respond to. But Paul calls upon each one in the body of Christ in this passage, to each one to use that gift that they've received from God in order to build up the body of Christ. And the result of that, Paul says in this text, is that the body of Christ is built up. That the body of Jesus is built up, and we reach unity of faith in the knowledge of Jesus, and we become mature, attaining to the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. Then essentially what Paul's saying is, when you live this way, when you act this way with one another, you become the living body of Jesus on the earth. The body of Christ expressed in the people who make up His kingdom and His church. What Paul's talking about here, everyone responding to the gift of grace they've received, leaders leading in the way that is prescribed in Scripture, every member using their gift, and the body growing up and building and being effective, that can only take place in an environment of unity. And if we move back to the beginning of this section of Scripture, of course, that's where Paul starts, isn't it? moving back to the first part of the text in verses 1 through 6. That's the groundwork that Paul lays to begin. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You realize the calling that you and I have received? Do you think about that? Do you think about the fact that we've been called by God into this church, this body of Christ, to serve Him, to be a part of God's plan, to reach the world, to be the light to the nations, to share the grace of God with people who are lost? And Paul says, you've been called into this. You have such an amazing calling in Jesus Christ. Your life's caught up in God's eternal purpose. Your life means something when it's given over to these purposes. We have such an important role. There is so much God is looking for us to do as the church. And Paul says, oh, as a prisoner for the Lord, brothers, sisters, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. You've received such a high calling, and the response should be one of great intensity and commitment. And he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Paul says, you've been called to become a part of the body of Christ. What a high calling that is. And there's some responsibilities with that. There's some expectations that God has to everyone who's received that calling. And the first thing is that we don't mess it up. That we don't mess up the body into which we've been called. That we don't mess up the family into which we've been called by having hateful attitudes, but rather that we live together with the spirit of unity. The Holy Spirit has created a unity. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one hope. There is one God and Father. There is one. That's the work of God. God has called us into that. And he says, you maintain that unity that has been created by my Spirit. And that's got to be so much more than just some abstract thought at the beginning of a text. It's got to be the hallmark of a church. It's got to be something that we give ourselves over to totally, to maintain and to accomplish. How do you do that? Paul tells us right here, I've got to be humble. I have got to be completely humble and gentle and patient. To maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace, I have to get over myself, and I have to get over my opinions, and I have to get over my self-centeredness and my arrogance that sometimes rises up. I've got to be patient with others. We've got to be patient with one another, bearing with one another in love, putting up with each other's weaknesses and foibles and opinions and all that sort of thing that happens. And we've got to determine that we're not going to be the cause of strife within the body of Christ, that we're going to control our tongues. To maintain the unity and the bond of spirit means I've got to watch what I say. And I can't talk, I can't say things about people. I can't say hurtful things or undermine someone. I know sometimes we think that may be our gift, you know, we just have a way with words. I'm just telling you, that is not a gift from Jesus, to use our tongues to hurt or to divide. That's not one of those gifts. If you think you have it, it's not from Him. We've got to be careful about the way we talk, about the way we interact with one another. Am I a force for encouragement, or do I discourage the people that are around me? Am I a person who, when I come into a conversation or I come into a group of people, I just tend to create a sense of peace and connection? Or am I the kind of person that comes in and begins to create strife or bring up things that divide people? We have to think in very, very practical ways. Am I a person who's seen as supportive and encouraging, or someone who tends to undermine? Do you not know? Have you not seen how Satan longs to divide the body of Christ? Have you not seen it? Have you not experienced it? Satan wants to divide the body of Christ. Satan wants to destroy the unity of the church. Satan wants people to be at odds with one another. Satan wants to come in and create strife. Because if he can, the body of Jesus Christ is destroyed in its ability to be what God wants it to be on this earth. That's all he has to do. We don't have to believe false doctrines. You know, we don't have to jump off the deep end or something. We just need to turn on one another, have a spirit of strife among us, and not deal with those issues that might be causing that. And Satan will win. And Paul's calling us here to say, you got to see this. You got to maintain, you got to take every effort, every ounce that you have, everything within you to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because if we don't, there's no leaders doing this and everybody using their gifts. That's not going to happen if it's not based on a body life and a family life of humility and patience and forbearance, where people work extra hard at maintaining and creating peace and relationship rather than being divisive or speaking sharp words or speaking words that discourage or hurt. And when that happens, when that spirit of unity exists and leaders are carrying out their God-given ministry, and each member of the body is using their gift according to the grace that's been given to us, Paul says in verse 14, then, when we've maintained the unity of the Spirit through every effort of our humility and gentleness, when we have determined, each one of us, that our gifts are going to be used for the kingdom of God, then, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. That's when it can happen, Paul says. When we make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and every one of us personally accepts the responsibility to use our gift to build up the body of Christ, then we come to maturity. Then, he says, we become the body of Christ on earth. We become the living body of Jesus Christ, ministering as Jesus himself would minister if he were here apart from us. We become the body of Jesus Christ, and we are held together, and the body grows, and it builds itself up in love, Paul says, with all of those supporting ligaments, all that body imagery. But what does it come down to? As each one does his own part. We've heard this 100 times, haven't we? We know that's where he's headed. We know the importance of this. And yet, we have to apply what he says. It is truly as each one does their own part. That's why it's so important for each individual to be dealing with and questioning and thinking about and pondering and looking for, how can my gifts be used in the body of Christ? That's what we long to experience, this fullness of the body of Jesus Christ being built up individually and being built up as the body of Christ serving the Lord God together. So for me, as I think about just coming together tonight, talking about some things, some future, some general direction, some specific plans, hearing what everybody thinks, taking all of that into consideration, bringing all those things together, allowing folks to see certain opportunities for ministry and seeing the input from the congregation to the leadership, I have a, I just have a real spirit of anticipation of the possibilities that this can be for our congregation, to consider the future together, to imagine what God might be able to do through us, and what God might be waiting, what He may have been waiting to do through us, waiting on us. Such an important time for every one of us to consider our own individual role in that process, and how we can be a part of that growing body held together in the love of Christ. There's so many brothers and sisters in this church family who are incredible servants. Some of you have been serving the Lord just for decades and decades and decades. Men, women, boys and girls, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are so devoted to the Lord, and there's such a wide range of kinds of things that are done in the name of Jesus within our congregation and in terms of reaching out to friends as well. It's just such a blessing for this church, that kind of commitment, that kind of ministry. And I want to encourage any of us, maybe some of us were more involved in times past, and we just kind of, something's happened over time. We may not even be able to put our finger on it, but we just kind of moved out of that level of commitment. Or maybe we've just kind of been attending a long time, and we love God. We love the Word of God. We love the church, but maybe we've just never been asked, or we've never understood perhaps how our gifts could be used in the kingdom. I want to encourage you to consider the role that you have in the church, that God has placed you here, that you're a part of this family and that you are needed so very much. And God knows how He can bless this family when you and I, when each one of us submit our wills to Him and live out that unity that He's created through the Spirit. May it be a time to commit our lives to Him and to the body of Christ here, so that we can grow individually, so that the church can grow in its strength, so that the kingdom can come in this community as we as the people of God hold out that word of truth to people who don't know Jesus. I read Ephesians chapter 4, and I wish we had time to reflect back over the first three chapters where Paul uses such lofty language to describe what God's doing to bring all things together under Christ. This cosmic plan that spans the ages from before creation to the end of time. And he says, that's what you've been called into. Live a life worthy of that. You see what God's doing in the universe. That's what you've been called into. Is that not a calling worth your life? Is that not a calling worth your time and your energy? Is that not the most important calling? Every other calling, every other thing in life comes underneath that, finds its proper expression as brothers and sisters in Christ and Christians who understand our first calling is to be a part of what God's doing in the universe through Jesus Christ and through the message that's proclaimed by His church. What an amazing thing God's called us into. And now, for each of us, Paul exhorts us to live a life worthy of that. It's impossible, in a sense, isn't it? And yet that's our calling, to maintain the unity of the Spirit, to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ, to lead forward with vision and with hope. May God bless the family here as we work to do this together. And we as a family who've come to know this grace through Jesus Christ, we share with those among us today who may not yet know Him, we share an invitation, if you're not part of the body, to come to Jesus Christ, to recognize Him as the one Lord, the Son of God, who gave Himself for you, who died for you, to put your faith in Him. That's the faith in Jesus Christ to save, to accept His lordship over your life, to turn from your sin, to be baptized into Christ for forgiveness of sins. That's the one baptism that unites us by faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and come into a new relationship with the one Father who is over us all, filled with the one part of the one body. That's the calling. That's what God's doing And he invites us into that. And if there are any among us today who don't yet know that hope and purpose in life, we invite you to come. And may we as a church family do everything we can to fulfill the teachings of the Word of God, to use our gifts, to live in unity, and to build up the body of Christ. If there are any who need to respond, please come while we stand and as we sing together.